It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another great edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. Before we get to today's episode, just want to remind you of all the places you can find this show. Of course, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Spotify. If you have an Apple device, you can just use the podcast app and search for Secrets of Staffing Success. That way, every episode will be sent directly to your device, so you don't have to go find it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. And of course, all of our episodes are always up on HaleyMarketing.com. Just go under the freebies section and you will find this podcast. So coming up today, we have part two of our Q&A session with our very own Brad Smith. And some of the questions that we're going to tackle on part two here. What are the bells and whistles that I need to have on my website to bring it up to date, as in 2018? What sets apart some successful staffing owners from other owners? What are some of the recruitment marketing trends you're seeing right now? The most innovative marketing tactic you've ever seen? And we're going to start off with one of my favorite questions about Alexa and how the home voice assistant is factoring into the staffing industry. This is a great question from Brent. You can tell Brent's a bit of a forward thinker here. How will home assistants and voice search impact staffing and recruiting? It's nice and timely because I just actually had my second Alexa delivered to the house today. We wanted to have one upstairs, but you know, is it going to get to the point where I can get out of the shower and say, "Hey, Alexa, find me a new job"?
Yeah, very, very well could. You can probably shout it from the shower.
Right.
It's becoming increasingly important. I just actually wrote an article on our blog about voice search that has some more details. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing how quickly households have adapted to voice. It's not only, yeah, you know, home assistants, but you've got Siri and every Google Assistant on, right, your phone. And people are using it. They're even using it on desktop, too. Wow. So they're getting a little lazy, and they're clicking the microphone instead, yeah, of typing. But I saw a statistic that said by 2020, over half of all searches will be done by voice.
Wow.
And you think 2020, holy cow, that's so far off. But it's really not.
It's like a year and a half.
Yeah, less than a year and a half right, away,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the amount of people that have used voice search just continues to grow dramatically. Mm. So I think you will get to a point where people are going to be using it more for job search. I think they're going to be using it more for local search. And I think there's certain things that staffing and recruiting companies can do to improve their voice SEO results. Mm. So with voice, you're going to get the top results, right? And that's right, pretty much it. People, yeah, aren't scrolling down to the bottom of the page.
Very true. Yeah.
So what you need to do is make sure that you're producing content that is voice friendly, mm, and answers a question.
Mm.
So personally, one, yeah, if you think about when you'd use voice search, yeah, you're asking Siri, you're asking your phone, you're asking Alexa a question.
Sure.
So think about what questions employers and job seekers are asking, hmm, all the time.
Yeah.
You know, who's hiring in Buffalo, New York?
Mm-hmm.
Write content around those terms. So write more localized content.
Hmm.
Answer questions in Q&A format. So when a candidate walks through your door and they ask your recruiter all these questions, jot down those questions that you get all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Write content around those questions. Create list articles. People are always looking for the top whatever in a specific city, or, right, you know, the best such and such. Begin to write those list articles.
Mm.
Begin to answer those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Look at question boards. Look at LinkedIn. Look at forums and see what people are asking related to employment, hiring, recruiting, job search, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And reproduce that content on your site that answers those questions. As you start to do that, you'll rank higher and higher in voice.
Mm.
Makes sense. And you need to structure it in a way that makes sense too. So I, you know, mentioned schema markup earlier, and you need to make sure that you have the right heading tags. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but all of those factors go into a great website, a great SEO strategy, and a great voice SEO strategy.
Let's see. Next up is Yvette, who says, oh, this is a very common problem in the staffing industry. Every time I look at our website, I'm taken back to 2005. What are some of the important bells and whistles our site should have to make sure it looks like it's from 2018?
Well, it's funny because our industry, I think, sometimes is a little behind when it comes to online marketing. So I would look at other leaders in the digital space, look at retail for some ideas on where you might need to go.
Yeah.
Look at some of those leading industries and see what you can copy and steal. But, you know, gone are the days where you could create a website and have it look great for 3, 4, 5 years or even more.
Yeah.
It really needs to be living and breathing.
Yeah.
You need to update your site consistently. But, getting back to the original question, some of the key things that I think you need to have first and foremost for a strong foundation, making sure that your site is really built mobile first and is responsive.
Yeah.
And I mentioned earlier, there's mobile traffic is now overtaken desktop traffic.
Yeah.
You need to not only look at your desktop and your site on that, you need to look at mobile. You need to look on different mobile devices. Make sure that it adjusts to fit that device. Make sure that you have good calls to action that are easy to click. Make sure that the text isn't too small. Just make sure it's a good user experience.
Yeah.
And then look at Google Analytics too, and look at user experience for mobile visitors versus desktop visitors. Mm. See where there's drop-offs. See if you have bounce issues. See if you have exit issues, and really refine and tweak all that. Some other things though, you need to make sure that your site's secure. So you have SSL, and
that's big right now.
It sure is. Look in that top address bar and make sure it says HTTPS and not just HTTP. And Chrome and Firefox are rolling things out where if your site's not secure, users are going to get a warning that says this site isn't secure.
Right.
You are going to lose so much traffic and so many applicants and so much potential business just because your site isn't secure.
Yep.
If you host a site with Haley Marketing Group, just reach out to our team. We can walk you through getting and making sure that your site's secure. We can help you get the security certificate. There's a cost to it, minimal.
Right.
But it's well worth it. And and the other thing is, if your jobs on your site aren't secure, they're not getting picked up in Google. They're not getting picked up in ZipRecruiter. So, as soon as you add that security certificate, you have an opportunity to get your jobs a lot more places.
Yeah.
And recruiting's such a challenge now. Other things to look at, make sure that your site's clean and concise. Gone are the days of super text heavy or super busy sites.
Yeah.
Make sure it's clean, crisp, concise, singular calls to action on pages. Get people to where they're going quickly. Make sure that it's fast. Mm-hmm. A big ranking factor for search engines is speed.
And security.
But you need to make sure that your site's fast. It's not bogged down. So go to Google and search website speed and plug your URL in there. See what you can do on your site to improve speed, and you'll improve search results. I'd make sure that you have multimedia throughout your site. So it's not just all text. Incorporate video, incorporate infographics, polls, do things that are more engaging.
Yep.
It's going to improve the user experience. It's going to appeal to different people. We're recording this podcast right now. It's getting leveraged on our site. It's
right.
in blog posts. It's everywhere else. It's multimedia.
Right.
People like to consume things differently. So present your content in different formats. And I guess just to sum it up, I'd probably just make sure that your website is updated frequently. You really want to make sure, again, that you're not just sitting back and hoping that your site still looks good 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to be active. Your website is living, breathing, needs to be updated, needs to be tweaked, needs to be adjusted. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-time project.
Right. Let's see. Next question coming from Mark. You guys have spoken with a lot of staffing owners over the years. Yes, we have. 30 years between the two of us. We've spoken to a lot of them. What sets apart the really successful ones? Well, let me just say, go back and listen to all of the episodes of this podcast that you're listening to right now. That's a really good place to start because most of the people that we've talked to are very successful. So you can learn a lot from that. But Brad, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Wish I would have thought of that myself. But yeah, I mean, what we've tried to do on the podcast, and I know what Todd is great at, is looking at innovators in the staffing and recruiting industry, getting them on and having them share their secrets to success. Right. I would also look at industry conferences like the American Staffing Association, Staffing World Conference, Staffing Industry Analysts, Executive Forum. Look at the panelists there and listen to and learn from them. They're on those panels for a reason because they're some fast-growing companies. Yeah. They're innovative thinkers. They're not afraid to push the boundaries a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think those are some keys right there. But this one that I wrote down is really going to sound like just common sense, but I think they're great at hiring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, duh.
Right.
Right. But not just great at hiring temporary staff. They're great at hiring internal staff.
Yeah, definitely.
And they bring on people that have values that are aligned with the company values. Mm-hmm. They fit in. They're aggressive. They're continually looking to grow. So I think the leading staffing executives are ones that are great at identifying internal talent.
Yep.
And on the flip side of that, it's also people that are great at firing. And I hear this a lot at conferences. You need to hire slow and fire fast.
Yep.
You need to identify when people in the organization aren't working, aren't going to be successful, don't have what it takes,
right,
and get them out. Because what they're going to do is bring down everybody else around.
Yeah.
And you're, as an executive, going to spend so much more time trying to get them to change when they're never going to change.
Yeah.
So, you know, making sure that you hire the right talent and weed out the talent that isn't working. And that sounds a little ruthless, but it's business.
Yep.
I think that the firms that are and the leaders that are accountable for themselves and accountable for their staff and set very specific and clear objectives. I think that's one of the biggest challenges is when teams and staff don't understand what's expected of them. Yeah. They don't know what KPIs they're trying to work towards. Mm-hmm. How could you ever be successful if you don't know what KPIs you need to meet in order to be successful? Yeah. So I think being clear and concise there. I would say that the top companies that we see really understand their place in the market. And what I mean by that is they're not trying to be everything to everyone.
Right.
They're very niche focused. They have identified where they're extremely successful. They won't take a order that doesn't fit their company. Great example of this. I a company in New England. I was on in a marketing roundtable board, and I absolutely love this. And she said that they have a centralized internal recruiting team.
Yep.
And they devote a lot of resources to job orders and filling those job orders and have a lot of spend. If they get a job order from one of their account executives that doesn't exceed the local market pay rate average, they don't devote internal recruiting resources to it because that's a bad order.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, you know, setting up those expectations and getting people all along the line to buy in and follow that makes sense because their thought is those are C&D orders.
Right.
And if they're trying to recruit and use their resources on C&D orders, they're missing out on A and B orders, which have higher markups, which have higher potential, which are better clients, which have jobs that are more attractive to job seekers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they're focusing their attention. So again, I think just understanding your place in the market and not being afraid to turn down business or not being afraid to go back and educate your client and really having a process for that and empowering your staff on those best practices, I think can really help growth.
Yeah. And I'll throw one in there too. And it's a phrase that we use around the office a lot. When we get those clients that are really fun to work with, we always say they get it. Really good staffing owners get it. They understand why they need to be doing marketing and how it ties in with their sales efforts. They understand that to make money, you have to spend money, and they're not afraid to spend money because and do it strategically. And that's, of course, what we help them do, but not afraid to spend money to make money, to bring leads in, to spend money to bring in leads. You know, we sometimes get clients and, you know, they're successful still, but, you know, they just say, well, we're just going to, you know, we don't believe in sending out an email newsletter, or we don't want to spend an extra $100 a month to promote our candidates. Well, why wouldn't you? You know, I've talked about on the show before, we have clients who don't want to market their candidates. And then you'll say, well, what's your biggest issue right now? Well, I can't find any candidates. Okay, but you don't want to spend any money on finding candidates, you know? So it's a very generalized saying, but the staffing owners who just get it, who understand marketing and understand that they need to be doing it and how essential it is to their sales efforts, I think is one of those traits too.
Yeah, I agree too. And one that I just thought of that I see all the time are companies and executives that are really progressive adapters of technology.
Yes. We just mentioned it, how slow this industry can be to adapting technology. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're looking at what's new and coming. They're going to conferences and they're looking on the vendor floors and they're demoing new technology and looking for ways to streamline their processes. And like you mentioned, investing in their business, investing in the technology, training and support to make their staff more productive, more effective, more successful.
Yeah.
I think if you're always looking for ways to improve, always looking for ways to streamline, to potentially cut cost or cut time out of placement, those are the companies that are rising to the top.
Yeah.
And, not the blockbusters of the world that are, you know, ignoring Netflix.
There's still one left. Yeah. Bend, Oregon. I saw there's one blockbuster left for some reason. No, people in Bend, Oregon maybe don't have the internet. I don't know. All right. Next question up from Samir. With record unemployment rates, where do you see recruitment marketing trends heading? Boy, we could do probably an entire episode on this.
Yeah, you certainly could. mark that down for future episodes. It's a hot button right now. Unemployment's crazy. We're all looking for more candidates. But one thing that baffles me all the time is how staffing and recruiting companies manage their internal ETS. So you spend all of these dollars, all these resources, all these man hours to get people in your ATS system. And then if you don't place them on assignment that day, what happens to them?
They disappear,
yeah. Or they hang out in this black hole of ATS. So I think staffing companies need to do a better job of leveraging their ATS at all levels of the organization. It starts with more effective data entry. And I know that's easier said than done, but getting people to consistently enter data correctly and tag it appropriately and put it in the right place and make it accessible. But beyond that, I mean, there's some simple things you can do. We're doing this for a lot of staffing and recruiting companies where we're taking and exporting their ATS list. We're uploading it into some tools and social platforms so that we can cross-reference people, identify them on social, and begin showing them recruitment advertising.
Yeah.
Those people already know your brand. They're already somewhat familiar. And if you remember the stat from earlier, return visitors, we found, are 2 times more likely to apply to a position. Those people in your ATS, hopefully they've been to your site in the past. Let's get them back.
Yeah.
Let's get them back to apply for a job. Let's re-engage them. And let's leverage that. You already spent tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars getting them in there. Let's use it. And I mentioned this earlier too, but let's look at the application process. Yeah. Holy cow. If I look at another application that's three pages, I'm going to scream.
Yeah.
Your application should be like five questions and upload a resume. And if it's not, you're losing people.
Yeah.
We've done eye tracking studies. We've done click studies. We've looked at abandonment rates. We've done A-B testing. And if you can streamline anything on your form, do it. Even something as simple as like combining first and last name, things like that can have a dramatic impact on application rates. So start there. Also, just get smarter about how you spend your recruitment dollars. Todd, you mentioned it earlier. You talk to clients and ask them, you know, job aggregators, job boards, which one's most effective. How often do you get a solid answer?
Almost never.
Right. One, because it can be challenging to track sometimes, but two, because we're not paying attention and we're so caught up in filling these job orders and we're so caught up in doing things how we've always done it that we don't look at the data. We don't make more strategic decisions. We don't know in many cases, where that application or where that placed candidate came from. Let's get better at tracking that. Let's get better at tagging that. Let's look at Google Analytics. Let's look at our ATS and let's determine where our most effective recruitment advertising dollars are spent. Let's look at where they're not effective, and let's reallocate our spend. Now, a lot of that, too, is just getting smarter with technology. I just mentioned that some of the most successful companies we see have been early adapters of technology. And there's a lot of great technology out there right now to be more effective in recruitment advertising and our recruitment spend. So right now we're looking at programmatic ad spend. So I'm going to oversimplify this, but basically programmatic ad spend puts the money where it should be. And when you get enough applications for one position, it shuts off the spend. So you're not wasting money on getting more applications for a position that you should already fill. Or it's reallocating spend to positions that you need more applications for. It's looking at trends and seeing where your placed applicants are coming from and diverting more spend there. It's looking at certain times of day, certain platforms, certain websites, and determining where the best fit, lowest cost candidate is. And I really think that's where recruitment advertising and recruitment spend is heading. It's getting more strategic. It's using technology to make better decisions. And overall, it's looking at employment branding. So is your brand presented in the right way? Are you a company that people want to work for? Do you have advocates for your business? Do you have associates out on assignment that preach your virtues? Do you have associates that are going to Glassdoor and Indeed and Google and leaving glowing reviews? I think if you can begin doing those things, you're going to hopefully decrease your overall recruitment spend and make that spend much more effective, drive more ROI, fill positions faster, and hopefully drive down overall business expenses.
And I want to expand on something there too. You know, we talked a lot about new ways and innovative ways in technology. I want to throw an old school one out there, and you mentioned it a little bit right there. How about using your current candidates that are out there on their jobs? If I asked a staffing firm, how many sales reps do you have? They may say 5 or 10. I'll say, no, you don't. How many candidates do you have out on jobs? Well, we have 250. You have 250 sales reps. Give T-shirts to your employees so they can wear them. Give them brochures. Give them business cards so that they can be a walking recruiter out there for you. There's no reason not to. It's essentially free advertising for your company.
Yeah, we were just brainstorming ideas today, and some of those some of those came back. But business cards, right? Give people business cards. Just because you're a temporary employee doesn't mean that you wouldn't love a business card and you wouldn't hand it out to your friends. And you could even get fun. We were toying today with the idea of just off the wall job titles, right, on a business card. So you have a temporary employee that's you know, in a warehouse working, give them some fun, engaging job title.
Yeah.
Like, you know, CEO of kicking ass and taking names, right? But something fun and engaging where they're actually going to want to hand that card out to all of their friends and be like, hey, check this out.
This is a fun company to come work for.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a great company to work for. This is a great culture to work for. They found me a great job. I'm engaged. And build advocates. So if you can build people that are willing to go to bat for you and preach your virtues and tell everyone that they know about what a great experience they have with you, recruitment becomes so much easier.
Absolutely. Let's stay on the innovative topic here. In all of your years in the staffing industry, what is the most innovative marketing tactic you've seen? Ooh,
wow. Jeez, you couldn't have given me that earlier. I know. Actually, so I've got one.
Okay.
It's not necessarily marketing. It's more business operations.
Okay.
But I thought this was just ingenious. So years ago, we met someone who owned several staffing agencies. And we just assumed, oh, yeah, that they're in, you know, different markets and different industries. And he's like, oh, no, they're all in St. Louis. And I believe it was St. Louis. Could have been somewhere else. But they're all in St. Louis. And we said, oh, okay, so they focus on different verticals? Well, no, they all compete against each other. And I kind of looked at him like, what do you mean they all compete against each other? And this was genius. But basically, his take was that he's got five or six different companies. Little different, but a lot of overlap. And he put good people in place at each of those companies to lead those companies, but they did in fact compete against each other. And they'd lose business here or there, they'd gain business here or there, but when they lost business, it oftentimes went to one of his other companies.
Yeah, it makes
and
sense.
Basically what he did is almost cornered the market.
Yeah, right.
So the majority of staffing business was working with one of his companies, and he didn't care which one.
Right.
And it created some internal competition, but he gained a much bigger market share in the area and had control of a big chunk of the temporary and contract staffing buy-in in that local market. So I just thought that was ingenious. Not really more operations and marketing, but I thought it was really, really smart.
I always go back to, and this is, I mean, you talk about old school marketing. This is one of my favorite ones from years ago. One of our big clients in Boston used to go to all the bars, and this is when you could still smoke in bars, and maybe in some cities you still can smoke in bars, but they would hand out matchbooks with their logo and phone number on it, and you just open up the matchbook and said, need a job? Call us. And they would leave them in all the bars around Boston, and we all know that there's a lot of those. But it was just one of those genius kind of tactics. I mean, obviously, like I said, you can't smoke in a lot of bars, but how about coasters? Print up coasters with your name and phone number on it. Need a job? Call us at XYZ Staffing. Go hand them out to the bars. Bars love free coasters. Bars love free anything, you know? It's just one of those cool little things that you don't think of for a staffing firm to do that type of advertising or marketing.
Yeah. Now, just one more thing to add. It's not necessarily 100% innovative, but I think it's something that 100% of staffing companies should be doing is remarketing. You know, I mentioned it earlier. You're spending all this money to get people over to your website or your application or your jobs, and then if they don't convert the first time, you just forget about them. It's silly.
Right.
Let's tag them with Google remarketing code, with Facebook remarketing code, and set up a campaign so that we have really engaging and compelling creative and messaging that stays in front of them.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you know, staffing companies get business when they're in the right place at the right time. So a company had, you know, some turnover and they need help, they need support. Who are they going to work with? Either the company that the staffing company that just called on them, their existing provider, or the company that keeps popping up over and over and over and over again.
Right.
So I think it's an ingenious way to be in the right place at the right time all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have clients that are spending a few hundred dollars in getting 20 to 30 to 40,000 impressions a month.
Yeah.
With people that have already expressed some level of interest.
Right.
So again, not overly innovative, but it's just basic, something that everyone should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Question from Carlos. We are a startup in business for only 3 months, and sometimes we feel overwhelmed by all the various marketing tactics out there. Where is a good place to start for a company to introduce themselves to a new market? Because really, this question is great, because really, if you are a startup, if you're in the first year of business, your marketing tactics should be very different from a more established staffing firm, right?
Yeah, I think so. But at the core, I really think that you need to focus on who you are.
Mm.
So, you know, identify your place in the market.
Yeah.
And where the startups that I see that take a while to become successful are the ones that try to be everything to everyone.
Mm.
So they try to place LI people and executive search. Or they say they do healthcare staffing because once, you know, several months ago, they had somebody ask them to find a medical biller.
Mm.
So as a startup, I think you need to look at what's truly needed in the market, mm. where the voids are, and find out where you can be most successful. So, so what can you be the best in the world at?
Mm.
What type of staffing? What specialization? And I think that's the easiest way to be successful, is to pick a very specific niche and follow it.
Mm.
And then from there, I think you need to look at some key rationale. So why would people choose you over a competitor? What makes you different? What is a true key differentiator? And then you need to look at developing a core story.
Mm.
So what is compelling about you? What's compelling about your service, and what's in it for the end consumer?
Mm.
So your core story shouldn't just be all about you. It should be the value that you show to the end consumer, and that could be a candidate or the employer.
Right.
So I'd really focus there first and figuring out, and we use this analogy a lot, but in the grocery store, figuring out not only what aisle you belong in, but what part of the shelf you belong on too.
Right.
And then really honing in there, not being like afraid to turn down business that isn't in your core area of specialization. Mm. Again, oftentimes I see startups take every job order available, and then you're trying to fill C and D orders while A and B orders are going unfilled.
Yeah.
And it's just not a recipe for success. Few others, I'd just be consistent. Oftentimes I see newer companies try a marketing tactic for a month and then stop and move on to something else, and then move on to something else, move on. And I think when you're not consistent and you don't give things time, you're never going to be successful, and you're just going to be bouncing from tactic to tactic to tactic without a strategy in place. And you're looking for a silver bullet when instead you should be looking for a strong, cohesive strategy. And then I'd set specific goals and KPIs. So make sure that everyone on your team understands what's expected of them, looks at certain KPIs, and you're measuring those consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst thing I think you can do is wait 6 months without reporting on that. That's too long. Look at it consistently. Make sure that you're doing the right activities that are going to drive the right revenue.
Question here from Keith, who I know is one of our very loyal listeners. Question about job titles and job descriptions. What should we be putting in our job titles? I understand they should be eye-catching, but have read conflicting things on how long they should be. Additionally, for job descriptions, should we still be doing bullet points, or should we be doing something different?
All right. Job titles can be a little bit tricky, because you get a job title from one of your clients, and you might be inclined to just use exactly what the job title is.
Right.
But sometimes that doesn't actually describe the job.
Right.
So I think what you really need to do is think about how the person that is going to fill that job would refer to that job.
Mm.
Okay. So their terminology might not always match with the company's job title.
Right.
So I would use that. I would use the applicant's terminology, not necessarily the company's terminology.
Right.
Now, that could be tricky. You're going to have to work with your client on that and test different things, but you can test that.
Mm-hmm.
You can post the job two or three different ways with different titles, different descriptions, see what gets the most engagement. And I would strongly encourage you to do that. The other thing that you need to do is look at adjusting your job titles and not just using the same job title over and over and over again. So, you know, you might be looking for a production associate And that might be a position that you fill for one of your clients day in and day out, month in and month out, year over year. And you might have the same job title and the same job description for that job consistently. And the challenge with that is that the job aggregators are going to see that position as the same position. And it's going to fall to the bottom of their search results, the bottom of their queries, and you're going to get less and less applications over time. So you need to vary it. So if you have those positions that you're filling frequently, I'd come up with 4, 5, 6, 7 different job titles, rotate them in and out.
Right.
And switch it up, vary it. Now, getting on to job descriptions, I'm so sick of seeing job descriptions that read like recipes. And let me explain that. So, you know, you look at a recipe, right? And it's just a whole list of ingredients.
Right.
Does that make you hungry? Just a list of ingredients?
No.
Right. You want to look at the meal. You want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what really gets you hooked.
Sell the sizzle, not the steak.
You got it. Yep. So when you're looking at your job descriptions, just listing out core duties and having a list of requirements and skills, it's boring.
Right.
You really need to sell the sizzle. Mm. You need to explain what's great about this company. Mm-hmm. What's amazing about this position? Are you working with amazing coworkers? Do you have the chance to be highly visible in the organization? Do you have the chance for advancement? Mm. Do you have the chance for flexible schedules? Really key in on what the great parts of that job are and play up to that. Yeah. Now, that might require you having a more in-depth conversation with the client, going on site visiting, talking with people that are currently in that position. How great is that? Get a testimonial from somebody currently in that position telling, you know, how great it is. And that makes your job description so much more compelling. Go on site and do, you know, pull out your iPhone, take a video of the job site. If it's a nice work environment, showcase that. Get permission from the employer to do that.
Right.
And really sell that position. So don't just list the ingredients.
Right.
Show people what they're going to actually be doing. Show them why the position is so amazing and why they have to work here. And then I guess the last thing that I'd say is put a damn salary down or a pay rate. You know, getting back to that data analysis that we did, we found that jobs that don't get clicked on and don't get applications don't have a pay rate with them.
Shocking.
Imagine that, right? Who's going to apply to a position that they have no idea what the pay rate is?
Right.
You know, don't put TBD or DOE, depending on experience, because you will not get applications.
Right.
Put a range there if you need to, but put a salary. That is a big, big inhibitor. Lack of salary is a big inhibitor to getting applications. So make sure it's there.
Right. All right. Final question. I saved this one for last because I think it's one of my favorite ones that somebody sent in here from Jenny. What's the biggest marketing mistake a staffing firm could make? This is another one we could do an entire episode on.
All right, Todd, I'm letting you tell.
Oh, you're going to let me go first? We've talked about this a few times throughout this episode, but I think it bears repeating again, is just not being up to date. Take a look at not just your website. Take a look at everything you do. Take a look at your logo. Take a look at your website. Take a look at all your marketing collateral, your email marketing, your social media marketing. And then compare that to your top three competitors. Where do you fall on that? Do you fall in 2005 or do you fall in, this looks really up to date, really contemporary. Make sure your website has all those features that Brad talked about. Make sure it's mobile friendly. If I go to, and some of my clients are guilty of this, when I go to their website, if it looks like 2007, why would I want to work with that company? I want forward thinking people that I want to work with. I want somebody who understands what era we're in right now, what's important in terms of marketing and in terms of branding your company. Those are the types of companies that I want to work with. So to me, you know, a quick, easy answer to that one is not being up to date and not having every aspect of your company up to date. I know it's hard sometimes to spend $5,000-$8,000 on a new website, but think about how much money could be walking out the door because your website looks like it's from 2007.
Yeah, I like that one. And Now I'm going to pretend the original question was, what are the biggest marketing mistakes? Plural. Because I cannot.
I know. It's hard to narrow it down.
I cannot pare this down to one. But, I mean, if I had to, the number one would be not marketing. I think that's the biggest marketing mistake is just not investing in a site, not investing in content marketing, not investing in email, not investing in support for your salespeople and thinking that, you know, you're just going to dial for dollars and business is going to come in. Yeah. I'm not saying that you stop dialing for dollars, but support those activities of the marketing. So, so I think that's one is just not marketing. Another is giving marketing internally to somebody as an add-on to what they're doing. So we see that a lot, right? So we see that the youngest, newest person in the office gets assigned as the social media marketing specialist because, of course, they're young. They must know social media. Mm-hmm. They were born into it. They might be good at posting on Snapchat, but that doesn't mean that they understand business.
Right, right.
And I see that a lot. So not aligning business objectives with marketing tactics and activities.
Yes.
Or just having tactics and not a strategy.
Right.
I think is a big mistake.
One of my biggest cringe moments is when a client says, well, my nephew is in college. He's going to build our new website. He's taking a website course. He's going to build a new website. Oh, please, please don't. Your website is not the place to cheap out. I mean, really, it's your storefront. In today's day and age, it's your storefront. It should be. It should show who you are, what you are. Your nephew may be great at coding or something like that, but he's not going to understand your core business.
Yeah, certainly. And then I guess just the last one that I mentioned, and I mentioned this earlier, is trying to appeal to everyone.
Yeah.
So trying to market yourself as a one-stop shop that does everything from healthcare staffing to IT to accounting and finance and light industrial positions. Mm-hmm. All right. Unless you can truly do that, don't. Right. You're going to be lumped in with everybody else. Your margins are going to suffer. You're not going to be different. You're going to be continually battling margin pressures. Pick a focus. Mm-hmm. Understand what your business is. Understand what you're the best in the market at. Mm-hmm. And then exploit that. You're going to have higher margin solutions. You're going to get better clients. You're going to be more successful. You're going to be a best place to work in that niche vertical, mm-hmm. and just going to be more successful.
It's like going to a restaurant that has, you know, an 18-page menu. Yeah, they have a lot to offer there, but they're probably not experts in any of them. Now, I want to go to a place that has a one-page menu, has 10 items, and they're experts at doing that. So it's my little food analogy there. Well, that just about wraps up our very long Q&A session here. Like I said, I feel like most of these questions, we could just do an entire episode on these questions. But I hope everybody enjoyed this. It was fun for us to do. Brad, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge. I know I even learned a few things here, too. And I hope our listeners learned a bunch, too. If you'd like to give your Twitter handle or your connect with you on LinkedIn, let people know how they can find you.
Yeah, certainly. So go to LinkedIn, type in Brad Smith at Haley Marketing Group. You got to add that Haley Marketing Group because there's a lot of Brad Smiths out there. Twitter is at BradSmith1414. So please connect with me. And if we didn't answer a question or you didn't get a chance to ask that question ahead of time, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to answer it directly offline. We're happy to write a blog post about it. And then in a future podcast episode, hopefully questions will come pouring in and we'll need to do a round two.
We can absolutely do this again. Thank you so much, Brad. And thank you to everybody for listening and participating in our very special episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. We will talk to you next time.